So, you know how I went to New York recently and I was asked to speak for this group of women and it was on what does confidence look like? So it was all about body language. Okay. So that's my jam, right? Yeah. So I love listening to other people who have tips on body language, which by the way, there was this one person in the crowd who said that she hates hand movement.
Yeah.
And I was like, so then I kind of teased her and I was like, okay, so you want me to talk like this? And she goes, oh, like, never mind. Yeah. Right. But I think she was saying, I don't like too much.
Oh, that used to be me too. Cause I felt like body language was awkward and no one ever talked about it or I didn't learn about it. And
yeah.
And yeah, I've learned a lot from you because it makes a big difference, but I didn't know what to do. Like, where do your hands go?
Right. So she decided to just declare, I hate the hand movement. Uh-huh. Right. So I was listening to Simon Sinek recently and I learned something from him. I love it. I was like, oh my gosh, a tip. Mm-hmm. So he talked about how he talks really fast. You know, he talks really fast and I lean on talking fast as well. So I tend to move my hands really fast. He was talking about the correlation.
This is why we can never, every time there's some photo of you, you're like in between movements.
You're always in motion. They're fuzzy. They're always blurry. He was talking about the correlation between how fast our hands move relative to how fast we talk.
Okay.
And so one of the things he learned was if he holds his hands sometimes, he slows down.
Interesting.
And now he was saying, I don't want to do that when I speak necessarily because he likes the cadence of which he talks, which I actually have a thought on that too. But he was saying that sometimes in meetings when he feels this slight annoyance at the rate of speed in which another person is talking.
Yeah.
He will hold his hands because it slows his whole self down.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just found that super fascinating.
I'm going to use that one. That's
good. I was like, for me too, because
look
I'm
my,
like,
I just did this with my hands.
I think he's like the physiological connection is actually helpful between brain, mouth, and hand.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
All right. That's your new cue now. I'm going to be giving that to you.
So then there was also this study. Okay, so wait. Okay, so where I got this from was the podcast was so cool because it was Adam Grant, listen, interviewing Simon Sinek and Brené Brown. Come on. I was like, three brilliant brains.
Get them in our studio, Joe.
I know, all three brilliant brains. And by the way, they were bumping and bouncing all over the place, but it was like, if you listened, it was like, ooh, 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 ooh. It was such a good episode.
Wait, what was this on?
It was on Adam Grant's. He interviewed the both of them.
I'm listening to that.
It was so good. But another tip came out there around some study. I think it was Brené Brown that said Emily Cronin. She said something like, if you talk slowly. Oh, no, it was Adam Grant that said that slows down the energy. But then if we slow down, that's when people take our points seriously.
Uh-huh.
Okay. However, if we're too slow, Adam was like, I tried to do this and he talks fast too.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point is he said, regardless of the studies, here's what all three of them agreed on is that you need to have both. You need to have fast. This is what I always teach too.
Yeah.
You need to have like energy, da 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 da. But you're right. If you do that the whole time, people are like, boom.
Yeah.
So when you have a teaching point, you need to slow.
Well, that's
it down.
Like, you know, I've
so
been.
So the study showed both.
Right. There needs to be variation, just like in the tone and the inflection. Yeah. You know, I've been loving that Sully Finley lately on TikTok. And he does that.
Yeah.
He does these stand up bits about like pastors, how they do that. Like, that's what he's mimicking is how they go like really fast, really fast, and then slow.
They have a whole weird thing.
And
they
it's like, da-dum. It's funny because they're actually da-dum. Really good at it. And it is what captures
your
attention.
It's definitely a pastor flair though.
Yes. It's like way overdone.
Yeah. I remember how like pilots have their thing. Uh-huh. Did they take a pilot public speaking class?
Yeah.
Cause they have a cadence too.
Well, but the other thing he always does so perfectly, he nails it. It's like they do the end of a sentence and then they go right past into the next one. And I'm like, oh my God, yes. But it's so impactful. It really does work to keep your attention.
It does. So I really was, the main one here was just that when I feel that slowdown thing that maybe I just need to
do your hands.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's also nice because you can do like right now where you don't necessarily have the sticky note
right
on your laptop hack. You can kind of
just do that.
All right. Well, also on the topic of you in New York, you were working with another group, more of like strategic planning, right?
Well, they were doing a strategic planning and they wanted me to be a little bit more of the team building part before they did their strategic planning.
Well, I thought this was a good coaching shout out because you said you shared like something that happened more in the moment, like spontaneous coaching with one of the leaders.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
I do.
What?
Well, it was just interesting that I said, do you know who I am? And I just really quickly, because she didn't, it was more of a one-on-one. We were actually having a, and this person really went into this lengthy telling this almost like needing to tell me everything about themselves, which wasn't what I necessarily needed, but she had this real need to tell me. And then I asked her how everything was going and she was like, everything's great. I felt like it was like, it was great. It was great. Everything's great. It was like, great, 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 great. It's bad. It was like, but it was like, great, great, great. Actually, it's okay to actually, it's not so great.
I'm terrible. It went from like, here's my amazing resume all the way down to I'm actually
vulnerable decline
to
openness. And so that to me was just an interesting moment where if you just be quiet.
Yeah.
And just let the person talk through their nerves, whatever it was that she needed to process, she got to her own truth.
Now I remember why I loved that story, because I could relate so much. And even just when you're busy or hurried or you're meeting someone, they're like, how are you? And you're like, great. And sometimes it causes me to stop and be like, actually, I'm not great. Not that you're going to go into that every time, but I liked how she went from just kind of on autopilot to like the honest, true self.
Yeah. That well, thanks cool. for the shout out for me.
Shout out you.
Great
coach.
I
didn't say you. I didn't.
It was just the thing you did.
I think it does say Sunday coaching under coaching shout out. So.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
It was just the technique you used of listening.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't me. It was the technique. Got it.
Do you have a gripe?
Oh, I do. Let's see. I was just thinking about, I was thinking about, so, you know, I love Insights Discovery, which is the colors, which is red, yellow, blue, and green. I don't want to necessarily get into, but it does, it's very tonal sometimes. I feel like the reds are very direct. The yellows are quick and smiley a bit. The greens are thoughtful and a little bit slower. And then the blues are a little bit more precise. And that's just what I noticed. Anyways, I was thinking about how the different types struggle saying no or transitioning. I guess I was just having a coaching conversation with someone who was saying, I am struggling moving from small talk to the work.
Yeah.
Or I'm struggling when someone asked me to do something. And I thought it was such an interesting takeaway. So it's a personality thing is what I guess I was wondering.
Yeah.
Some people are just like, no. And it sounds so natural right, when they say no. Other people are terrified to say no.
Yeah.
One thing that we were talking about was sometimes it's not just no when someone asks you to do extra work. Sometimes it's just no, not right now, but let me look at my calendar and I can do it then.
Yeah.
But they think so extreme, like no or yes. And so that was an interesting one. And then the other one was tone in which we go from small talk to the work, especially when it's virtual, and how some people make it a very abrupt, not natural change and it can look a bit angry.
Yeah.
And other people are just like humorous about, all right, so enough about, I think I was talking to someone and they said, all right, so enough about pumpkin spice. Like we've got to get to the work.
Yeah.
But just how that personality part comes into play with transitions. I really was just thinking about
It's
how
huge
it's tough.
Yeah, it's same with kind of leaving a conversation or a meeting.
Yeah.
And we were saying we need to do a reel of you like in, it like cuts between you in lots of different just social situations where you end the conversation because you're so good at getting out of there and they're still happy. And then there's so many people who go, how did you do that? Like, I feel like such a jerk if I leave right now. Yeah, that is a big personality thing.
And the truth is that some personality types really just want to get to work. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But they struggle getting from A to B when they feel that way. That's totally. All. That's it.
Okay. Well, now that we nailed that down.
we didn't even solve for it. It's more just an observation.
Yeah. Well, what I want to talk about today is kind of this question of, is a business right for you? Or if you're thinking about a business, maybe should I start a business? Or maybe I started a business and I'm not sure if I did the right thing or not. We kind of get this question a lot.
Yeah.
And it's funny to me because it sits in between somebody who for sure knows they want to do it and somebody who doesn't at all. Those are two clear categories. Like we could name either category right now and people would know if that's them.
For sure.
But there's this middle ground, which is actually our territory in coaching. It's the, I'm not sure, I'm kind of weighing the options, considering it. So I wanted to kind of talk about that directly because we had a lot of people asking about that. I'm not even sure what to call the episode because they ask it in so many different ways.
The I'm not sure's.
Yeah. I guess where I wanted to start is that if you've been thinking about it for a while, meaning like more than a hot second, like you've been, it's been on your mind or you've been considering it or thinking about it for months or years, then there's something to that. And you need to pay attention to that thought. Because here's what happens. People go, I've been considering this for like the last 2 years. I still just don't know. I'm like, 2 years, it's been on your mind.
Okay.
That means it's something that you want. That means there's substance to that thought and desire. Versus somebody, it's like, it's just a brand new thought because someone else they know is doing it and they feel like, oh, well, everyone's doing it. That's totally different territory. You know, somebody who's just kind of started thinking about it versus it's been on your mind for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I find that helps people in conversation to know, yes, you have permission to go there and consider it as a real option if you've been thinking about it for a long time. Because otherwise, if you don't even give it a try or go after that idea, it'll always be there as this what if.
100%.
And then it can become regret. And then you get way later on and people are like, you know, almost resentful with themselves. They didn't give it a try.
This actually is in like so many categories of life, actually.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It's like, if it's been on your mind for a while, then consider it more seriously or like go after it. And if you're someone who already started the business and you're kind of wondering if you did the wrong thing, then maybe just put more of a timeline on it. Mm-hmm. Put some boundaries for yourself. Okay, I'm going to give this a try for the next 6 months. And every month I'm going to check in with myself and say, how's it going? Look at the numbers, look at like how things are progressing, and just have an actual timeline where at the end of that timeline, you're going to make some kind of decision.
You coach more business owners than I do. Do you think that when people have been thinking about it for 2 years, that they often will step into it while working their other job? Or do you notice that more business owners will jump all in? I'm curious.
That's why I struggled in preparation for this episode, because there are so many different scenarios. But I think that's actually the point of this episode.
Is that there's no one.
Is that there's multiple scenarios and you need to figure out which one you're in. Mm-hmm. You can't just compare against what Gary Vee said or whoever on, you know, in your feed that week, because their scenario might be completely different than yours. For example, a guy I've been coaching lately, he's had it on his mind for 8 years to start a business. He finally started considering it seriously 2 years ago. And then he called me a year ago and said, let's make this happen. A year into the coaching, we realized, actually, no, it's still not time yet. It's actually a really bad time for him.
Okay.
Because he's got multiple kids. He's the sole source of income for the house. There's like a lot of stuff going on. It would be a really bad time to make this jump. And so, I mean, together through the coaching, we realized that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we did is create a plan to kind of come to take notes and keep pursuing the idea, but come back to it at a later point and actually make the shift.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his scenario. And for really good reasons, he still needs to wait.
Yeah.
But he's not going to give up on the idea because he knows it's what he ultimately wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, we've had a bunch of people come to Greenhouse that are like, I'm ready yesterday.
Yeah.
Or they already actually started making shifts. Remember recently there was someone who, they had already left their job. They came to our workshop. They had already left their job. Mm-hmm. And they were like, so what am I doing?
They're like, I have no idea. So I actually have a client that hit incredible burnout, left her job, and thought, I am definitely going to start my own business because everything about starting my own business sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
until she sat alone in her house and realized how much she realized, oh, I have to find the clients.
Yeah.
You've had this before.
Oh, yeah.
Where people, the what they think versus what is real. She's back working for another company.
Yeah.
I think for 6 months she tried this idea.
Yeah.
And she realized, A, I don't like to be alone, and B, I absolutely do not want to go get the clients.
Exactly. And that's what I mean. Like, if she had never tried, yep, she might be left wondering the rest of her life, mm-hmm, what if? And maybe I would have loved it. And I love that she just tried and realized,
she
nope,
did. She did.
Not for me. She did. And that's perfect. And yeah, what she did is actually the reality for a lot of people. She could go right back to where she was before, yep, or a similar job.
Yep.
And I think we have this weird mindset in America of, I'm either going to like jump off the cliff and it's going to be amazing and I'll be a billionaire, or I'm going to die and be poor and everything's going to fail. And there's like so much middle ground.
There is.
There's an insane amount of middle ground where actually, yeah, most people can just go back to their old job again.
Because that was your safety net too. You were like, if this doesn't work for me, you kind of told yourself, well, I have people who I can call and I can go back to work.
Yeah. It was actually a leader at the company I worked at who told me that. He's like, well, if it fails, just call me up and I'll bring you back on my team.
And you're like, oh.
Oh. But that can happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, it wasn't even in my mind at all.
You feel like when you choose, you're choosing forever.
Forever.
That's what happens.
So, I mean, a little of my story in that was I was terrified. I mean, I knew when I was like 10 years old, I wanted to start a company one day. Mm-hmm. I was always entrepreneurial and I was terrified forever and ever. Cause I thought it wasn't a thing in my family or friend circles. And like, I got this great opportunity to go to a great college. And it just, I thought everyone was going to think I'm weird and hate me and be mad at me if I ditch this path I'm on, mm-hmm, to start a business, which is like risky and dumb, and who does that? A lot of people, like, that's more in their family and experience and it's not a big thing. But for me, it was like really scary. And I definitely thought, when I was working at this stable company and like on a good track and now married and having my first kid, I was like, oh, my wife's going to also like leave me and think that I'm right. So, like, she's just going to be super mad.
Right.
I can't. So it wasn't like, oh, I'll tell people and they'll be mad. It was like, I can't tell anyone I even have these thoughts. Mm. I mean, for years, I kept it all inside. Like, I had these desires so strong and I never even told anyone. And so maybe I'm the more extreme version of the story, but for me, it was really scary. It was like, I wasn't actually scared of starting a business. To me, that sounded fun.
What was the scary part?
The scary part was whatever I was going to disappoint and upset everyone around me, even coworkers at the time and that kind of thing. So
what did you discover, by the way, when you did tell?
Well, I guess that was like a long story short is that I did think it was impossible. I thought like, oh, I just so want to start a business someday, but it's impossible. Like there's just actually no hope that I could ever do it. And fast forward to now, which is, I'd say about 8 years later from the end of feeling that way, it's not only totally possible, but I'm doing it. It's going well. And every day at home, like me and Ashley talk about business stuff all the time. And it's actually a really fun part of our relationship where that 8 years ago, I thought I can't even tell her that I have this.
Right.
This
Ooh,
idea.
You've come a long way. Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I mean, there's a million steps in my story of how we've gotten from there to there. Mm-hmm. But I think I want to share it to tell people it is possible. If you're feeling like, yeah, I want to, but it's not possible. It actually, it for a lot of people, it is.
Mm-hmm. I think the other part that I think of is that it doesn't have to be so extreme either. Sometimes like I never introduce myself as a business owner.
Yeah. You are, though.
But I am. Because I have this side. I mean, even before I met you, I just had this. I have my side gig, Sun Communications, and I do not market myself. I have
clearly
nothing.
The way you just said it.
I know. I mean, Sun Communications. Like. I have a reputation from a long time of work. I don't have a website, but I take gigs because people will reach out and I'll go, okay, I'll literally be like,
yeah.
But I am energized by them.
Yeah.
I only take ones that I want, but it is not, but I do not want to, very different than you, I do not want to own a company and manage a whole bunch of people and their careers and their salaries and their lives. And it's kind of like, I want to be this one person who does a good job for a few people.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. And I feel like I meet a lot of people like that too, that just want a little side something because it for me, it stimulates my mind, gives me something fun to think about, and it's also it feels good.
Yeah. So let's go there, because that is, I think, for anyone listening, in terms of figuring out your, like, what is your scenario, not just comparing to whoever's in your feed, I think it's important to know the different variety. There are lots of different kinds of entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. and there are lots of different kinds of businesses. And, you know, you can go online and figure this out very quickly, but a lot of people don't realize this because, again, they're just comparing themselves. So they're like, they either have the Steve Jobs image of an entrepreneur in their mind, and they're like, well, I'm not that, so I can't right. do it. And, you know, like, Ashley's my best example lately, because she's the furthest from Steve Jobs personality-wise.
Yeah.
And she started a business and she's loving it.
Yeah.
But it's a very different, she's not entrepreneurial like that.
Yeah.
She wanted something that was already known. And mm-hmm. and like, that's why she bought a franchise.
Yep.
And she gets to run it and be creative, but doesn't have, like, she's not creating everything from scratch,
right.
for example.
Mm-hmm.
So I just listed a few. I think that there are types of entrepreneurs in terms of people who, yeah, want to build something, build an empire.
Mm-hmm.
This is more like the tech entrepreneur, startup founder story. And then there are people who just want a side thing like you.
Yep.
There are people who just want a solo business versus like building a team. There are people who want to be very unknown versus people who want to build a personality brand and be known. Different flavors of entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. right? But then with businesses, there, let me just list a few. You've got like solo, like a solopreneur who has clients, maybe a freelance graphic designer or a real estate agent or something.
Yep.
You've got fractional roles, which are becoming big.
They are.
Where you can be like, I mean, again, accountants, least entrepreneurial personality types. A lot of accountants now becoming fractional CFOs where they have four or five companies they serve.
Yeah.
And they love it because they have more flexibility and ownership mm-hmm. or maybe more job security. But they're doing that.
If you fire me, I have these other three.
Yeah. I just had a conversation right. with a guy yesterday who's looking to leave a big company as like a CPA to do that because mm-hmm. of the job security.
Yeah.
Then you've got like building a team and having clients. And that was more my vision. Like mm-hmm. I wanted to build a company and have yep. Clients. But different than that is a tech startup. Tech startup's a whole different ball game of trying to either build and sell something for the money
mm-hmm.
or trying to build it for the name and to be big, trying to like take over an industry and change the game, maybe innovation. But, you know, there's a bunch of others. There's like solo internet based, whether it's day trading or digital courses, drop shipping, personality brand, you know, there's different tons of flavors of that. You've got like someone who wants to be an entrepreneur under an umbrella, you know, like a,
that is that more like Ashley?
That's like a financial planner
okay.
or a real estate agent or yeah, like Ashley like where she's mm-hmm. a franchise owner and then B2B franchises or B2B, you mm-hmm. know, like a retail chain franchise. You get the point. Like there's so many different types. And I think, again, people go into it very, very blinders on like there is one type. And if I don't fit that perfectly, mm-hmm. then I don't know what's going to happen.
Yep.
Kind of like freedom and permission to be you and to go after what makes sense for you.
This is an interesting conversation, of course, for me, because I've watched you, right? So we have people who have been thinking about it for too long, who are afraid to step in. And you're saying, stop thinking, maybe actually do. But then we also have people who are, you're saying, try not to think of it in one box, right?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was, I knew for a long time I wanted to start a business, but I didn't know what the business was.
Right.
That's what I mean. We get people in that gray area. So it's like, it's hard. I always complain. It's hard for us to market online because who's our audience? It's people who don't know who they are.
It's that's like, exactly
they
right.
don't know yeah. what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. That's the point is then you have to actually slow down. And this is why we work with people. This is what coaching is for. Figure out what exactly you want
to
do.
How did you do that?
Sorry.
We're on the same page. We're curious
here. Tell us well, like what,
I mean,
was it a long journey?
That's what's always so interesting to me is like, or ironic, is the creation of this company came out of that struggle for me because it took me way too long. It took me 12 years to figure out what I wanted to do. And it was a lot of conversations. It was a lot of introspection and personality tests and all kinds of stuff. But because of that, because I was so frustrated, it took so long, I wanted to shorten that process for people.
Yeah.
So there was Greenhouse born. I was like, this does not have to take 12 years. People can figure this out in like 3 months. And so coaching and our process for figuring that out, Career Sweet Spot and the different tools we have, it's like, it actually can be figured out pretty quick. But for some people, it will take a while. The point is like getting intentional and trying to figure it out versus just always wondering, could I do this? I don't know.
I think it's scary for people to go from wondering to action too. I mean, it's like terrifying. That switch right there.
And that's why we get paid as coaches, right?
Yep.
Because the coach helps you get over that hump.
Yep.
If you just expect on your own to like one day wake up and be so motivated to get over that fear. No, like that rarely happens.
Well, did you know what kind of entrepreneur you wanted to be? Like you mentioned, like the Steve Jobs versus what Greenhouse is now versus a dropship company. Like did you know that?
I think that's the part I did know. Yeah. Like I always knew I wanted to build. I'm a vision person. So I always had like vision in my head. I wanted to build it. I want to build a team. I want to like do something really impactful. That part was clear to me, but what the business was or what the product was, that was like, I have no idea. And
it's interesting. I feel like
the opposite.
I was going to say, I feel like it is kind of one of those two things where some people just have an idea or something that they're passionate about and they want to start that way and they aren't even wanting to build a company. And then some people just want to build a company.
Yeah. Well, you know, so many like in our types of industry, service-based people helping businesses, most, I don't have the stat, but the vast majority start because the person struggled with that thing themselves and they wanted to solve the problem for themselves. Sure. And then they wanted to solve it for others. And I always actually thought like, no, I'm not that kind of person. I'm more like the tech entrepreneur. And here I am. No, I'm totally that person. Like now I'm solving for other people what I struggled with. But we had somebody the other day who said, they said, well, this is interesting because I just found myself laid off recently for my job. And so I didn't really know what to do next. So I just started taking gigs and like piecing together freelance jobs. And so I've realized I've kind of liked it and I've liked the freedom and flexibility it gives me of my own schedule. So she came to us saying, can you help coach me on how to like build more of a business out of this? And she goes, I actually really enjoy building my brand and figuring it all out. So that was...
So her life circumstances kind of forced...
It was like an
something
accidental.
And then,
yeah. So now she's more the flip where she's like, all right, now which kind of entrepreneur am I?
But what are the pieces then, I guess, that someone needs to think through before they launch?
Well, yeah, I think just to state it clearly, if you're the type who doesn't know what you want to do, then you need to actually figure that piece out. And maybe it's block off some time, get a coach, like go through a process like ours. And actually in the show notes, I'll link, we have a career transition planner. That's just a free guide that helps you start to think through that stuff. And that's why people like it, because they don't even know what questions to think about. But if you're someone who already knows exactly what you want to do and you just are getting hung up starting it, then that's the thing. You got to just give yourself permission to try and put a timeline on it. Don't feel like it's jumping off a cliff. I actually believe you have way more control as an entrepreneur than you do working for a company. Like most people, they're like, oh, it's too risky to start a business. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, at a job, you could get laid off today with no notice.
I mean, it's like what we're talking about with the fractional CFOs versus like you've got five companies you're working for,
right.
you might get laid off 20%. But
it's a different kind of risk. I get it. Entrepreneurial risk is a big risk, but you can put parameters on it. You can decide and pivot along the way, and you can have backup plans and fallback plans.
I agree. And obviously I followed suit. So I'm in on that. But to play like the other side of the equation, you were saying earlier, like it wasn't right for the person you were coaching. So it isn't always right at the right or like at the time. And so how do you really go through that process to know now's the time to jump?
Well, I think that's where money comes into the picture. It's really usually comes down to money. And it's funny how people are like, we're nervous to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in coaching business owners or want to be business owners, that's like all we talk about, because basically you either already have enough money to start the business, so like go for it now, or you have no money, so you need to save up for it, or you need to find a funding source, whether it's loans or investors. And there's lots of ways to do that. Or what I think most people we work with at Greenhouse do is they end up doing a hybrid where they kind of stay at their job and they start building their business on the side. Or maybe they have a business, start building another business on the side. And then it's like a phase in, phase out. And so you reach a point where you've got enough income or clients and then you can make the switch.
That's fascinating because when you were saying of just like trying it out and starting that runway, I was even thinking like that's when you stop your job and you go do it. You're like, all right, now I'm starting it now.
Yeah.
And you're like, it starts before point, right? then, though.
Yeah, people are like, well, I have to like leave my job today, start my business tomorrow. Again, it's like we go to extremes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess even playing with this idea might be completely wrong, but you could start saving to have that runway. It's like, I'm going to save $200 a month for the next 2 years. And I guess that could essentially be the start of that plan too.
Yeah. Or if I could go back when I get asked the question, like, what would you do different if you could go back to the beginning of this? I would have started, because I think I saved the money. I did the money runway pretty well, but I would have started building up the business sooner, meaning like collecting email addresses on an email list.
Mm. Right.
Starting to like get, when I work with people and help people, can I turn them into a longer time customer somehow by, hey, here's how I could help you going forward. Or if you're a product-based company, like starting to build that audience earlier. Because yeah, you can do that on the side. And that's the part that's so hard that takes time. When you start the business, you don't have audience, you don't have email lists, you don't have like client base right off the bat. So if you can step out into having that, some amount of that already built up, that's money. It's hard for me to even talk about it, because there's so many versions we've seen of that. I mean, I've coached corporate executives where they have more than enough money, but because of that, they're worried about money and they're worried about reputational risk of starting a business and failing. And so it's like, all right, actually what you need to do is just do that kind of phase in, phase out. Mm-hmm. And it works so nice, but sometimes that just doesn't come into your head as an option. But one other thought on money that's important, because this always happens in the coaching conversation, is instead of just being stuck and feeling worried or feeling excited, start to get numbers on paper, because you know more than you think you know. So there's usually two things. There's what's your bare bones income? Like, what do you need to make to pay the bills? And again, that can be different, right? Someone who's willing to sell the farm and just like make no money and be poor versus someone who, like in my situation, we had decided we're keeping our lifestyle, we're going to stay living where we're at and doing everything the same. So I had a certain income level and responsibilities I needed to hit. Whatever it is, like, know your bare bones income you have to make, because then you know how much you need to make in revenue versus how mm-hmm. much you might need to raise. And then there's the second question. Just try to project out very rough guesses with a little research. What do you need to make by what time? And how much of whatever you're going to sell will it take to get there? You can do some like pretty basic calculations and figure out a rough estimate. But I find people, because they don't know perfectly, they just don't look at numbers at all. And then they're like, I don't know, I'm just going to jump and hope that I can fly. It's like, no. You can actually plot it out and say, well, I'm going to try to start a coaching business. A coaching client makes X amount, you know, per client. And I need to make Y amount in income for my bare bones income. So that means I need to make like 2 clients per month until month 6. Now I have a plan to check in, and every month is like, am I exceeding that? Am I way mm-hmm. behind? If I'm way behind, like maybe I should pick up a side gig.
Yeah, I'm not even a business owner coach, and I help people through that, because mm-hmm. I have a lot of people who come to me who are doing career planning and they don't know what they want. And I've definitely asked people, who do you need to have a conversation with about that this is floating in your head?
Yeah.
And then number 2, just have a money, look at your money and think, what do I have to make if I think about walking away?
Yeah.
Like, what is the bare bones? And I think that gives some people clarity.
Totally. Especially because you have some businesses that are revenue driven, like we're trying to make money day one, versus like a tech startup where you might not make money for years, so you're trying to raise money. Mm-hmm. They're different paths, right? So just like put it down on paper. But I don't know. I think a lot of people feel like I'm the only one who has a windy career path. And am I the weird one that I'm not sure what I want to do, or that I want to make a switch to something totally different? You're not weird. Like, we talk to thousands of people like this. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to give people a permission slip. Like, go try it. Have a fallback plan. Like, there's no such thing as failure here. There's only such thing as not trying and then always wondering what if.
Agree.
So if you're thinking about starting a business, it's just not as big of a scary thing as you can make it out to be in your head. Or if you're like me, I wasn't scared, but I was building it up as too overwhelming. So you can kind of boil it down to simpler steps and really just have a plan of figuring out what is it that I want to do and what will it take income-wise to make it work, and then have like a timeline where you can check in on it. And hey, worst case scenario, you just go back to what you're doing before, or you find a side gig. And so you can actually check out, I'll link here, the Career Transition Planner is a tool that walks you through those questions. You just got to make it smaller and get started.